You're close, Julie. I can tell.
Sorry, I had it double muted. Thanks, Rod. I just had a pretty short question, I think. I see you've included in the packet like kind of feasibility or value assessment benefits on the AMI system. I'm pretty sold on the idea of not just making, if we're going to make a technology jump, to make it to the best current technology, because technology is changing so much, and there can be additional, you know, cost benefits to it. However, I note that the value assessment benefit white paper is 5.5 years old. So is there, do you foresee anything better than AMI coming in the next year, or you think this is kind of the state of the art for a while?
Well, the mesh network is an innovation off on the AMI system. For a long time, they were using AMI systems, were utilizing carrier technology. In other words, the signal was being transmitted over the power lines. And Ketchikan, I asked Ketchikan about that specifically. They rue the day that they implemented that technology into their system. It works fairly well in concentrated areas, but for remote areas, it just doesn't work hardly at all. But what they found is that the mesh network, which is fairly new technology, really has raised the standard around that. Now, as to new technologies coming down the road, I'm not aware.
Thanks, Assemblymember Decker. Other assembly members? My question is, Rod, I'm going to go to Assemblymember Gilbert. Vice Mayor Gilbert.
Just one question, Rod, and I think I probably know the answer. Are options 2 and 3 compatible with the power surge protector that some people have between their line and their meter?
Yes.
Good, because I just bought one of those, and boy, would I be mad if it wasn't.
Right. I have one also that I purchased.
Yes, it would. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor,
please, Lisa.
So the question I posed to Rod, and it's kind of the elephant in the room, is, you know, we have a very finite amount of money and in the electric fund, and we have a lot of needs, not the least of which is the powerhouse issue. The rebuild of Case Avenue is another critical issue. And so the question is, if we had to choose, this is $550,000, and we realize that a portion of it is failing, the software side of things. But if we had to choose between spending $550,000 on a metering system and some of this other infrastructure, what would Rod choose? And I know that's a difficult question for him, and I'm sorry for putting him on the spot, but I'd like him to give a couple of thoughts on that.
And Lisa has prepped me for this, and I got to tell you that I find it really, really difficult. We do have some, we have challenges all over the city, and notwithstanding the challenges unique to Wrangell Municipal Light and Power. This one is particularly hard because please appreciate that I have a career of solving problems and trying to advance the ball up the field the best I can with what I can. That for me, the AMI system implementation is doable. It will solve a number of issues, and it will provide benefits to the city and borough of Wrangell for years and years and years to come. she posed the question to me as to would I choose Case Avenue or the AMI system over it. I really am struggling with that because we have some needs on Case Avenue. I think maybe I don't even know how big the scope of Case Avenue is. Lisa has rightly pointed out that we're not far from getting that base information vis-a-vis the survey for Case Avenue. I want to advance this ball up the field if I can. And I'm not sure that answers your question, but this is a difficult one for me.
So, Rod, any idea on what that translates to in terms of additional costs if we went with option 3 to the average ratepayer?
I have not run those numbers, Steve. I haven't done that.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, the mayor and I spoke about this previously. You know, the idea is that we would take the money if this project were to go forward out of reserves, but that those reserves have to be replenished. And so what does that mean in terms of, a portion of a rate increase to pay back that money into the reserve fund so that it is available in a reasonable amount of time to be used on another project? Or the flip side of that is, do we ask the ratepayers to help pay for a portion of the project, meaning do they actually buy the meters and pay us back, you know, incrementally over time as a small add-in to their bill? I know that that's been done with utility, installations of this type in other communities, not necessarily electrical, but water, sewer, and other things. So there are some options there, and both of them would require additional cost for the, you know, to the consumer for sure. But what exactly that means right now, we don't have that information.
Okay. So we are at 3:57, Rod. Sorry, we didn't get your generator in the box project. We'll have to revisit that one. But I do think we have a little bit more time on that. I spoke to the city manager tonight about that. So I want to wrap things up there. Lisa, what's the course of action moving forward?
Well, I have a list of things that I wrote down, questions that were asked by the assembly to find out answers to. I think I think that actually rightfully so, the next step would be what the increased cost is to installation of this system. And that that not only means how are we going to pay for it? Are we going to pay for it out of reserves and then increase rates to replenish the reserves if we do this? Are we going to ask for the public, the consumer, to pay for a portion of this? We front the money and then they pay back a portion of that so that the cost of implementation is shared. And then we need to know what the annual operating costs are going to be, because that's going to, it appears based on what Rod said, that would be an increased cost to operating annually. So if we're only paying $5,000 a year now and it goes up to $20,000 a year, we need to know what those costs are, because that's got to be absorbed into our operating budget. So I think those are the next steps in providing additional information to the assembly on, and I think it is incumbent upon us, and I know we've got 1 minute left, it's incumbent upon us as administration to make a choice for you with that information about whether the best expenditure of these funds is on a metering system and we extend out the life of this to the maximum degree possible, or we use that money on Case Avenue or, you know, toward the powerhouse replacement. So that's incumbent upon us to do as well.
For sure. And I appreciate all those points. I'm right before 7 p.m. here. I'm going to also say that I want to be confident that there is no alternate solution for us to continue on with our current metering system. And if there is, that we've researched it and we understand the implications of going with it. But I don't want to find out 3 months, 5 months, 6 months down the road that there was a good alternative and that we went ahead with a $500,000 expenditure that we didn't need to do. So I need assurances personally that if I vote for this, that I'm not going to find out that HUNA has found a way around it, or with, you know, someplace in Montana has figured out another system. I know that this has got a lot of advantages and technology advances, but I, for me personally, I need to be assured of that, because I think there's a lot of other places we can spend $500,000 on our infrastructure at the power. But with that, I'm going to close the work session at this point. Lisa, we'll look forward to a report. Rod, I want to thank you for your time tonight and the excellent job you did bringing forward all three options to the assembly. And with that, we will close the regular work session here. And I will call to order the regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska at 7 p.m. And Kim, would you please, we'll have Assemblymember Gilbert do the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I just want to commend you for the flag touch. That was very nice indeed. Very nice indeed. Ceremonial matters, there are none tonight. The only thing that I'd like to mention is that tomorrow is Remembrance Day, and many of our city facilities will be shutting down. I just want to remind everybody that in these sort of tumultuous times that we're experiencing as a nation and as a community, to keep our veterans in mind and the many people that sacrificed their lives to make it so that we have the liberty to have discourse, to enjoy the democracy that we have. And take a little time out tomorrow, whatever you're doing, and give remembrance. I come from Canada, and Remembrance Day is a national holiday in Canada. There's nothing open on Remembrance Day short of grocery stores, because it's viewed as that important. And I just want everybody here to put the politics aside for a little bit, put the COVID aside for a little bit, and just take some time to think about the sacrifice that so many men and women have done for this country to give us the freedoms that we have. So just want to put that plug in for Remembrance Day. Kim, roll call, please.
Thank you. Assembly members Corson.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
David Powell.
Here.
Decker.
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
I'm present. And under persons to be heard, we have Kim to do our invocation. Nice to see you tonight, Kim. Thank you so much for taking care of that aspect for us. If you'd please proceed.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Let's pray. God, our Father, maker of heaven and earth, God, we thank you for each of these leaders that you have placed here in Wrangell, in our lives as they serve. And God, for such a time as this, God, we do ask that you would be with each and every one of our veterans, with their families, God, that have made such unbelievable sacrifices, leaving family and home to defend us and to give us this opportunity even tonight to meet and to be able to live our lives the way that we do. God, I ask that you would impart your divine wisdom to our leaders and to each of us. God, as we seek to love and to care for one another, we ask that your healing hand would be upon each and every person. For those who need encouragement, God, that you would lift them up. God, we ask that you would bless our families, our community, God, our state, our nation. But selfishly, God, we don't want to just focus on that, but actually for the world, we ask that your blessing would be upon each and every person. God, we ask that your kingdom come, Your will be done, God, here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for the love that you have for each of us, not based on performance, but God, your heart of mercy and grace. We ask that you would guide and direct this meeting tonight. It's in your precious son, Jesus' name, that we ask all this. Amen.
Kim, thank you so much for doing the invocation tonight. That was an excellent invocation. I appreciate that so much.
Thank you.
Roll call, please, Kim.
You already did roll call.
I already did roll call.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Curses to be heard. Still thinking about the power generation solutions. We have tonight under persons to be heard. The first person is who, please, Kim?
Amy Smith.
Amy, are you on the line?
I believe so. Can you hear me?
We've got you, Amy. Please go ahead.
Okay. I love that this meeting started with the Pledge of Allegiance, and the Pledge of Allegiance ends with liberty and justice for all. Just a quick little remember that liberty is a synonym for freedom. And the definition of freedom is modern politics. It's liberty in the state of being free within society from control or oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. And I know that this meeting tonight, the mask mandate is not on the agenda, but because of my personal life in the next month, this was my opportunity to be heard. And so with that in mind, I just wanted to express that if the Wrangell Borough Assembly does vote this mandate into place, that we as Wrangellites, as Wrangell citizens, as a family, will no longer be free in our society. And I just, you have the liberty to live as you live. I respect everyone's journey and I want to support them. And my request is that I can live my journey and I'm supported in my journey and my decisions. It wasn't that long ago as a community that we came together in unity. That's what I love. I've lived here over 10 years and we come together in unity when there's death, when there is pain, when there is sickness. We've come together spiritually, monetarily. And yet here with this mandate that's going to be in place, it's going to rip this town in half. And do we want to take what we love in this town, this small community, and divide us? The last couple of months, I have heard, and we're all experiencing hard and trying times. I hear it every day I come into town. It is hard and trying times. I have mamas coming to my front door in tears because they have kids in depression. Depression in children increases risky behavior, suicide ideation. Do we want to create unity in this town or do we want to rip it apart? I have mamas knocking at my front door that their marriages are falling apart. Is this going to help? Is it going to bring unity or is it going to tear us apart? We need to support each other in our journeys. I think we're all very much aware that of the financial ramifications of COVID that have hit this town. It's a daily thing at the dinner table for many people. But do we need to make it worse by ripping us apart or do we need to keep us together? There's others in this town that for certain reasons, maybe mental issues or physical conditions that are unable to wear a mask. So now are they going to be forced publicly to expose their issues in a small town where they pretty much are wearing a neon green shirt or a twirly gig hat that says, I have a problem. And you know, it's a small town, there's going to be speculation. If there's going to be discussion, it's going to divide. It's not going to unify. I'm raising 3 babies in this town, and there's a reason we chose to live in this small town. So here are my questions to some of you as assembly members that will vote on this. Are we going to choose to socially retard our children by not allowing them to see others' facial expressions and come to know normal social behaviors? Are they going to have a harder time discerning between safe and unsafe individuals by lack of recognition? A child's immune system is normally exercised by childhood illness and will not be allowed to work or be strengthened as God meant them to be, meant those immune systems to work. If a mask mandate is put into place, our freedom of choice will be taken away and our unity as a community will be dissolved. So the other question, is this mandate teaching the future of our nation, our community, to unify in freedom of choice? I think in past that I've seen in this town, that's important to us. So as our city government, I ask, and you know, honestly, I plead that you remember what this nation was founded on. It wasn't founded on fear. It was founded on freedom. A mask mandate will make a mockery of our country's foundation and every life that fell to protect our freedom from oppressive restrictions and control. So as a community, I ask that we unify in supporting one another's journey and each freedom of choice. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Appreciate you coming out and speaking to us tonight. Thank you so much. Kim, who do we have next on the list?
Next person on the list, and I don't see him on the line, so please speak up if you are. Mike Lockaby.
Mr. Lockaby, are you on the call this evening? Mr. Lockaby, you may need to press *6 on your phone in order to unmute yourself. Kim, I'm not seeing any phones on our, 17724.
I don't think that's his. And Mr. Lockaby and I had some communication back and forth, but he didn't say one way or the other if he was going to call in. So I think he wanted to call in when the item was actually on the agenda.
Okay,
so the other person, I believe that's the 772, Maya DeLong.
Ms. DeLong, good evening. Are you on the line?
Hello?
Hi, Maya, we got
you. Hi, can you hear me? Thank you. I sent a letter through Kim, so I know that the Assembly has seen it, but I'll just go right into it. My name is Maya DeLong. I'm at 3.5 Zemovia, and tonight I'm speaking on my own behalf and on the behalf of the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce. So thank you, Mayor Prasunka, the assembly members, and our city manager and clerk. I know firsthand the time and sacrifices it takes to be in your position. In August, the city of Wrangell declared a state of economic emergency. It is time to take action on that declaration. We are hoping members of the assembly will be the example of this action by making plans to shop local. The health of our local economy directly correlates to the health of our municipality. We're asking that you please make it clear to friends and family that you prefer gifts bought locally this holiday season. We want to keep our post workers busy, not for the amount of goods coming in, but for the amount of local goods shipping out. Wrangell businesses made paramount sacrifices to stay open through the pandemic. They spent funds on marketing and advertising, web design, offered curbside and delivery service, online shopping alternatives, and shipping options. For retailers, stocking for the holidays started weeks ago. So we are asking that you, members of the assembly and the listening public, please show your support with your dollars. The tax revenues of local businesses go directly to fund our schools, police and fire departments, along with recreation services. When you say yes to shopping local, you say yes to these services. Please consider including in your support our salons, restaurants, repair shops, accommodations, and those businesses surviving on memberships. There are several upcoming chamber-sponsored shopping events like Harvest Fest, Midnight Madness, and Jolly Shopping. If these events don't suit you, we ask that you reach out to the chamber and we will do our best to accommodate each and every one of our community members. Thank you for your time and the energy you have expanded serving the wonderful town of Wrangell. You are appreciated. Sincerely, Maya DeLong on behalf of the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce. Thanks so much.
Maya, thank you so much for that letter. It's an excellent reminder to everybody in the community how much our local dollars are important. So encourage everyone to follow through with shopping locally. Thank you, Maya. Appreciate it. Kim, is there anyone else for persons to be heard?
No, Mr. Mayor, I have nobody else signed up.
Okay. Mr. Lockerbie, I want to just make sure you're not on the line. Give you one last opportunity to speak if you're there. And I'm not seeing anything. So we're going to push forward with item number four, which is amendments to the agenda. Does any assembly member have an amendment to the agenda? I'm not seeing anything. Item number five, conflicts of interest. Does any assembly member have a conflict of interest? Again, I'm not seeing anything. The consent agenda, there's a motion available. If someone would like to make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted, Gilbert.
Been moved by Gilbert. Do we have a second?
I'll second
it. Seconded by Morrison. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members, Gilbert?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yeah.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Pasanka?
Yes. Borough Manager's Report. Lisa, do you want to walk us through that, please?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
The
first order of business, Mr. Mayor, I omitted the COVID report for the first time in months. And if it's okay, I'd like to ask Captain Spray if she could please give us a report. There are a couple of items of note regarding COVID that I think need to be reported.
You bet. And I know Captain Spray is traveling tonight.
Oh, is she?
Yep. She's going to try to get on with her phone, but I see Jamie is on. Right. And so it'd be great if Captain Spray isn't there. Thank you for coming, Jamie. Really appreciate it. But Captain Spray, are you on the line? I know her flight was supposed to get in shortly after 8.
Mr. Mayor, she contacted me and asked me to give her report.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jamie. Please go ahead.
Okay, good evening. I'll start off with our local status. So our current risk level for our community is a level 2, and that's based on the percent of population that has gone through testing over the last week. We had 8.7% of our population tested, and that's the lowest percentage we've had in the last 12 weeks. Typically, we're around 12 to 15% of our community. There have been gatherings that are greater than 20 people. Test turnaround time is around 5 days right now, a little longer than we would like. All regions in the state are in the high risk alert level. So our region actually went to red on Friday. We were one of the last few holdouts to move up into a higher risk level. And then also there is reduced hospital capacity locally and statewide. So for our state status, over the last week, there's been 3,325 new cases. And that's an average of 475 new cases per day. There's a total over the last week of 45 hospitalizations, including 13 new hospitalizations yesterday, and 8 deaths. And all of those deaths have occurred yesterday. So we're kind of seeing a little bit of an uptick in hospitalizations and deaths. Currently, there's 125 patients that are hospitalized with COVID, and COVID patients represent 10.8% of all people hospitalized in the state right now. Our local EOC continues to meet 2 times a week, and we're currently working on the risk mitigation measure matrix and also responding to calls that are coming into the hotline and coming in through email. And we also continue to engage with the state EOC, the Department of Health and Social Services, the Section of Epidemiology, and healthcare professionals weekly to discuss things like mandates, mitigation measures, the science of COVID, disease trends, testing, vaccine development and dispensation planning, and community efforts and lessons learned from other communities. And yesterday we had an opportunity to check in with the Ketchikan emergency manager. They've been really busy down in Ketchikan. So we were able to get a few minutes of his time to hear kind of their situation and how they're dealing with it. And Ketchikan has had 76 cases over the last 2 weeks. 52 of those cases are tied together. And the majority of the people that are testing positive are symptomatic. And he said most of them are presenting with runny noses, mild colds, allergy-like symptoms. And as a result of those increase in cases, the city and borough of Ketchikan is asking folks to stay home if possible, to work from home, to only go out for necessities in order to avoid an increase, which would put them into the next risk level. And that would also require more drastic mitigation measures. Search continues to provide airport testing twice a day and also asymptomatic community testing every Saturday and Sunday. We are getting increased pressure from the state to ask our communities to telework as much as possible, to reduce gatherings to the point where they only include folks from the immediate household. And they're also heavily relying on us to get the message out to our community to follow strict mitigation measures when indoors, mask up, wash your hands, and use hand sanitizer. We continue to provide resources to businesses as needed. And if any businesses need masks or hand sanitizer or any other supplies related to COVID, please reach out to Dee Dee at the fire hall and we can arrange a drop off or a pickup. And we're also able to order hand sanitizer and face shields from the state. So let us know if you're in need and we can put those orders in. And lastly, Governor Dunleavy announced that he will issue a new disaster declaration on November 16th. As the previous one was set to expire then. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie. Lisa, it would be appropriate if anybody has any questions for Jamie.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor.
Anybody have any questions for Jamie? Not seeing anything, Jamie. Thank you so much again and to the whole ELC for their work putting and to keep our community safe. Appreciate it. Lisa, it's you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the second thing I'd like to ask is in the packet tonight is a budget report, finance report, and we wanted to get that out to the assembly, but there are a number of issues there that we'd like to speak about. And by issues, I mean just things we need to work through. And normally we would put a budget report at the end of the month because it takes a while for the after the close of a month for the finance director to be able to do the bank reconciliation and other things. And so I'd like to ask the assembly to do a work session. And I think we may be doing these more frequently as the year goes on, the fiscal year, I mean, goes on, so that we can talk through revenue issues, not only with regard to the general fund, but also with regard to our enterprise funds. And so, Mr. Mayor, if the assembly is willing, we don't have to necessarily come up with a meeting tonight, but if I could work with the clerk to pull the assembly on a night, we could do a work session sometime before the end of the month. I'd certainly appreciate that.
I think that's the best course of action. Assemblymember Gilbert.
Yes, and may I request that we include in that work session a delinquent accounts summary?
Excellent. Yes. Thank you, Assemblymember Gilbert. Let's go forward with that and dedicate some time. I think tagging these into a manager's report is tough, but I appreciate that you pulled it together and gives the assembly a lot of time to go through the ins and outs of the budget. So thank you.
Sorry about that, Mr. Mayor. I was just making a note about Assemblymember Gilbert's request. A couple of things. The Capital Facilities Department received the initial report from our consultants who worked, our multidisciplinary team that worked on the public safety building options analysis, and we will be getting that out to the assembly. That report is also going to warrant the necessity for a work session that may or may not be able to come at the same time as a regular meeting. But I just wanted to let the assembly know I'll get some cliff notes out via a KYP, but then we're going to need to have a full blown conversation about the results of that study in the very near future. The other thing I wanted to mention is the federal landless legislation was introduced into the Senate today by Senator Murkowski, and we will be working to get the Assembly additional information. John Crowther from Senator Murkowski's office has agreed to come and speak to the Assembly, and I know that what we wanted, Carol has put together, Carol Rushmore has put together a report on things, and we are going to try to schedule that with the mayor here in the near future and then engage the entire Assembly in a work session. And as I mentioned at our last meeting, Richard Reinhardt has also expressed interest in being able to provide publicly the PowerPoint presentation that Kim sent out to the Assembly that he submitted. So we'll be working to get that information out. And I think lastly, Mr. Mayor, other than the items that are in the agenda this evening, the Alaska Municipal League conference is going on actually this week and next week. The Alaska Conference of Mayors and all the affiliate groups managers are meeting. And I just want to confirm with the Assembly, I paid for that registration myself personally, the borough did not. And as I am able to fit in a session here or there, I will be trying to attend. Certainly not going to be able to participate in the entire event just because of all the stuff going on. But those things that are critical, I'm going to try to attend. And the we have an executive session tonight on an update for the Assembly on union negotiations. But your collective bargaining team met today with the union, and we will be meeting again for 2 days next week. Moving through items. So that team is working very diligently, and I want to thank Vice Mayor Gilbert and Assemblymember Morrison and our Finance Director Joyce and our Economic Development Director Carol for sitting on that committee and working through all those things. In addition to the time that is spent in actual negotiations, our team spends a fair amount of time outside of that prepping for those meetings. So my thanks especially to the Assembly members who are donating their time for that. And Mr. Mayor, that's all I have in addition to the items that are on the agenda.
Could you please address item I, solid waste shipping requirement status report, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. So the I'm still waiting to get a firm answer from Republic. There were two dates that I mentioned in the report there. The first was that by November 1st, AML had requested from Republic that the community still shipping loose solid waste in open top containers provide fire mitigation measures. I asked for an extension on that because we do not have a public works director currently, and I needed a little bit of extra time to work through stuff. I submitted that mitigation information to them yesterday. I was able to meet with Jeff Rooney, our foreman, who's the acting director, late last week, and we went through the operational items, and so that was submitted. I did not hear back from Republic after submitting that to them late yesterday, so I'm waiting for a response. I participated in a meeting that was pulled together by Southeast Conference last week of CSWA. That's the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Association. That's a group of communities in Southeast Alaska that participate in an association dealing with the disposal and shipping of solid waste issues. There were a number of items discussed, not the least of which was this issue going on with the need to compact trash and bale. And both Republic and AML had representatives at that meeting. Initially, when I had conversations on the phone with AML and with Republic, they indicated this November 1st deadline that I just talked about for fire mitigation plans and a June 1st deadline for having a plan in place to ship compacted trash. My understanding was that was a plan. We had to show that we were engaged in, basically had a timeline in place for getting compacted trash done. What I was led to believe in the CSWA meeting last week is that we actually have to be shipping compacted trash or baled trash by the 1st of June. And the reason for that is AML is willing to allow for loose trash to continue to be transported through the winter because loads are such that they have the ability to separate the trash containers from the freight on the barge with adequate separation. Once June rolls around, loads are such that they don't have the ability to have that separation distance on the barge. And so they're unwilling to take that risk anymore. And it is, it's extremely important that I get that answer and come back to the assembly with that information so that we can plan accordingly. If the requirement is going to be that we have to have compacted trash in place by June 1st, we're going to need to act accordingly. So I'll be getting back to you as soon as I can with that.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the city manager on her report tonight? I think you're off the hook, Lisa. I think, Kim, you're up.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I just want to remind the assembly and the other boards and commission members that this Thursday on the 12th, there will be the Open Meetings Act and Parliamentary Procedure training at 2:00. I emailed that PowerPoint out today, and I will send a reminder on Thursday morning. I am out of town. I'll be back in tomorrow. I'll be available until my results come in by phone or whatnot. Also, I wanted to report on hand sanitizer. Jamie had reported that she can order that from the state. We still have several gallons of that at City Hall. So if anybody is in need of hand sanitizer, if I'm not in the office yet, if they could please see Aaron or Sherry at the front desk and they could help them. But yes, we have several, like 24 gallons of it. And other than that, that's all I have.
Fantastic. Any questions for Kim tonight? All right, I'm not seeing anything. Mayor and assembly business. Does anybody from the assembly have a report for tonight? I'm not seeing anything. So next up would be mayor and assembly appointments. Under board appointments, we do have one letter of interest in the Parks and Recreation board. And that's Jeannie Arnold is interested in the expiring October 2023 position. And with the board or the assembly's approval, I'd like to place Jeannie on that that board. It looks like everybody is in agreement. SEPA board appointments. We had originally city manager Von Bargen had put her name back in. It would have been her third year serving on the board. She made the decision that she would like to take the year off, and she's got so much going on between all of the city things happening that she wants to focus down in on that. But I want to just say we're going to miss her on that board. She's been an outstanding advocate for this community, and I really have appreciated working with her on the issues. And believe me, there's been some really serious and sometimes contentious issues that Lisa's just been stellar on and represented the needs of our community, but also trying to balance that with the needs of the region. So I want to thank her very much, and we'll look forward to things slowing down in our community a little bit so that she can rejoin us on the SEPA board. We had one letter of interest, and that was from Mike Otteson Sr. and for the alternate member, and I would like to appoint Mike Otteson Sr. if the board is in approval. And I'm not seeing anybody dissent. So with that, we will please, Kim, if you could let SEPA know. Oh, sorry, the second is the voting member, and I put my name back in for that one. And I can't appoint myself, so Assembly or Vice Mayor Gilbert, if you would be so kind.
I wish to appoint Mayor Prezunka as voting member of the SEPA board on behalf of Wrangell.
Thanks. Does anybody dissent with that? I don't see anything, Patty. So Kim, if I could please ask you to contact Sharon at SEPA and let them know that the voting member will be myself and the alternate member will be Mike Otteson Sr. There's Yes, please go ahead, Kim.
I'm so sorry. It's Mike Otteson, Jr.
Jr., sorry.
You're okay.
I apologize.
No problem.
Public hearing, there is none tonight. Unfinished business, there is none. Please, if you would like a break, anyone, please raise your hand and we can do a 15-minute break at this point. Yes, please, can we take 15 minutes? We'll take a break. Sorry, Mr. Corson.
Actually, I had a quick question. I apologize.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. It was early. I hit the raise hand button earlier and it didn't take. This was during the mayor's report. Did I overhear that she had to pay out of pocket for something like a class or
we have no money in our budget for training besides essential safety training. So for example, we had two police officers go down to Ketchikan to attend interview training. But if it is not absolutely essential to the maintenance of certificates or to the to safety, direct safety of the community or the staff member, we have zero travel and zero training money this year, given our budget issues. And so, yeah, the city manager did pay and has done so out of her own pocket for multiple conferences.
Well, kudos. I appreciate
absolutely.
That.
And
absolutely.
And Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes, please.
I appreciate the comment from Assemblymember Corson. I don't say that to bring attention to that. The reason I say that is that it was specified by the assembly that those items be taken out, and there have been other issues in the community related to training brought up. So I make sure that it's known if someone's going to training like myself, that there's been no inappropriate use of funds by the city paying for that because it was specifically taken out of the budget. That's why I mention it.
And Assemblymember Corson, you've actually been the victim of this policy as well. I was approached by our clerk, who is always looking to provide board training for both you and Assemblymember Howe, and I denied both of those trainings that would have been online. But we are looking at the most efficient ways for us to deliver services in this community. And so, unfortunately, for now, that's where we're at.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not complaining. I was just appreciating her efforts, and I didn't take her comment as soliciting my sympathy. I was just making an acknowledgement that I do appreciate it. That's all I was doing.
No, I appreciate that. And I appreciate that you brought it up, and we need to constantly recognize the efforts of individuals in our city. So thank you, Assemblymember Corson. Assemblymember Howe, I saw your hand pop up there.
Oh, I could use a 10-minute break.
Okay. Thank you. We're back to the break. Okay. With that, let's come back. It is 7:40. Let's come back at 7:50. Lisa, is that enough time for you to get a break in? You're on mute, Lisa. Sorry.
I'll do my best. If my screen is black, you'll know I'm not quite back.
Okay, sounds good. We'll wait for you. We're going to start with 10 minutes. 7:50, please, folks.
Okay, thank you.
Kim, we'll recess till 7:50.
That sounds good.